We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago, I'm Sean Anderson, host of the CHGO White Sox podcast. That's Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at EchnerWall23 on X. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader, and he's kind of in our studio, but not really, because he's like miles, I think thousands of miles away. It's Vinny Duber. Not sunburned yet, but he's in Arizona. Hi, Vinny.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're good. Excited to talk to you. You are live in Arizona, and you just posted at AllCHGO. New season, new White Sox. Go check that out. You got quotes from Pedro Grifol, who you talked to today. You got quotes from Chris Getz, who you talked to yesterday, and then he had to jump on a plane. You were very active yesterday, and you've been active today. They're putting you to work. So we're going to bring you Pedro Grifol video and parts that was included in Vinny's article. We are also going to be talking about Garrett Crochet, who we talked about yesterday. Chris Getz had comments about Garrett Crochet's plan. Now Garrett Crochet talked to Vinny and the media down there. But first, Vinny, I mean, how's it going? I mean, obviously you did this last year. We have the cactus to remember you. We have Southpaw, your alter ego. But how's it going? How's Arizona?
Arizona is great, as always. The weather is just spectacular here. High 60s, low 70s. The sun is shining. I know they just had some rainstorms before I got here, but that cleared out to make way for spring training. It's pitchers and catchers eve, and it is a lovely one here in the desert.
So it's pitcher and catcher's eve, but Pedro Grifol said one catcher was missing, but it also sounds like Vaughn, Moncada. We know we talked to Nicky Lopez, who I think lives in Arizona. It does seem like it's kind of already a full-ish camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got 70 players coming to camp, around 70. I think maybe 68 is the number last time I looked. But Pedro Grifol said everybody but six or seven guys are here. That's position players included. So I think this is kind of the new norm for the most part, as you just mentioned about Nicky Lopez. A nice handful of these guys live in Arizona year round. So, you know, they're right down the street and ready to go when it comes to getting to camp. And, you know, a lot of these guys, particularly on this White Sox team, kind of hungry to, you know, as Chris Getz said, prove themselves, but maybe win a job or make sure that they can secure a spot on this roster. It starts early. It starts now. And I mean, actually it started before now, and this is kind of the norm. You know, when we get here, the media, most of the guys are already here.
As opposed to other camps that you've covered, how's the attendance this year? You said there's only six guys left that Pedro said. Usually, is it just people trickling in after pitchers and catchers report, or what's the attendance like this year as opposed to the ones you've covered before?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar to what it's been in the past. Usually you see the guys who maybe have to come from foreign countries, you know, if they still live, down in the Caribbean or places like that. They are maybe perhaps the ones that are later to come because their travel is a little bit more involved than it would be just hopping on a plane. I can't speak. We didn't see a lot of the action today as we were talking with Pedro and Garrett back at the facility, less so out on the fields, but like Pedro said, basically everybody's here already. So it's pretty much, like I said, pretty much the norm with these guys who like to get to work after sitting around for a few months.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Fetty also international, still flying over from Korea probably, because, I mean, that's just so far away. You did tweet out 68 people on the big league camp, but two new additions. Before we get into the Garrett Crochet talk, that's going to be our main topic. Will Garrett Crochet be a starter? We talked about this yesterday with Chris Getz's comments, so we'll think... hear Vinny's thoughts on what Chris Getz had to say, but also hear from Garrett Crochet himself. But two new additions, Corey Knebel, who last pitched with the Bigs or in the Bigs with the Phillies in 2022, and Dominic Leon, who split time with the Mets, Angels, and Mariners. So it does seem like more bullpen additions. Any interest in these guys? Because Knebel is a former All-Star, so I mean, it's not like a nobody. I mean, these two guys have a lot of major league time.
Yeah, we've talked about the bullpen all offseason long as really being, in my opinion, just completely open, in terms of spots there, with the exception of some of the veterans that they brought in on major league deals, your John Brebbia, Tim Hill, those kinds of guys. But, you know, why can't Corey Knebel, if healthy, win one of those spots? Why can't it be Dominic Leon? I mean, these are guys who obviously have done it before. And if you're talking about guys who are maybe a little bit on the fence, you know, guys who have names that have been around for a little bit, maybe a guy like Jimmy Lambert or something like that, who's had kind of some success at the major league level, but some struggles as well. Why can't a guy who's had a lot of success at the major league level come in, even if it's a little while ago, and if he's healthy, go ahead and win a job? I think there's a lot of jobs up for grabs in that relief corps for the White Sox.
And Pedro Grifol is going to later tell you that he loves competition, and Garrett Crochet is a part of that competition. So let's move into this. Again, you can follow Vinny at Vinny Duber. He's tweeting out video of batting practice through fences already. It is spring training season, so go follow our CHGO White Sox beat writer who's down in Arizona at Vinny Duber. And again, he's got a new article up at allchgo.com. Let's hear first from Garrett Crochet, because Vinny's arms have done a lot of work. Again, like all of these guys that are flying, they've been flapping very hard. Vinny's been holding up a camera for, I think, a grand total, like, totaled it up, 33 minutes today. So Vinny got his workout in. Let's hear from Garrett Crochet. We're going to play the full comments from him, because this is a guy trying to make his mark here in 2024.
You talked to us at the end of last year about the desire to start, and you had to give it a chance and wanted to see what you could do. How happy are you, and how focused are you with them giving, you know, hearing you out and giving you that opportunity?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic. I had a conversation with Getz early in the offseason and felt like it went really well. Kind of just stated, like, it's not like I expected to be given anything. I just want a chance to kind of fight for a spot and earn it, and at the end of spring training, reevaluate. So was able to really get down to kind of doing a little bit of a mechanical overhaul this offseason. Nothing crazy, just kind of making sure that the velo isn't as forced as it maybe was when I came back from Tommy John. That was a big thing in the recovery for me, was kind of just learning to throw hard often again without putting too much strain on my body, along with just developing the changeup further, kind of working on some other stuff that I hope to showcase this spring. But yeah, I'm ecstatic.
Conditioning wise, you have always been in good condition, but you look bigger and stronger. Is that the case?
Yeah, I was a lot bigger last year, actually, throughout TJ. I put on, my goal was to gain some weight, but I put on a little too much weight, so I slimmed back down to, I'm at about 245 right now, 250, so I feel like that's a comfortable weight for me to just kind of maintain throughout the season. A little bit more weight to kind of help with durability, or at least that's the goal in mind, so just hope to have a good, healthy season this year.
What's the key to prepping to be a starter?
Yeah, for me, it was more so just the mindset and kind of just the buy-in. That was what me and Chris talked about a lot, was kind of flipping between start and relieving, which one's it going to be, just needing to buy into one. So for me, that's the big key. kind of getting into the multiple ups of things. Threw multiple up live last week, but going to kind of progress slowly through spring. Just kind of trying to take every precaution necessary to have a full, healthy year.
What is the plan that they've kind of laid out? I mean, I don't know how specific you want to go into, but I imagine you've talked to Ethan and probably Brian even a little bit this offseason.
Yeah, a little bit. So I know that it's going to be kind of a slower build up than typical starter just because I don't really have the inning space under me. It's kind of been a while since I've done that, but for me, at least in the past when I started, kind of once you get to the two ups, three ups comes a little bit more naturally. It's really just being able to sit down and get back up and go out there. So for me, I expect once it starts to progress for it to pick up a little bit more steam and for it to flow better than maybe we're hoping for. Obviously, with not having done it so long, it's really, who knows what's to come, but I guess it's just kind of on me in that scenario to be honest about how I'm feeling in my recovery. Just kind of put the team in the best case when spring breaks.
What is it about starting the team?
So for me, and back in 21, there were a lot of times when I went out there just for one inning, and I felt like I had some more outs in me. I feel like that's kind of the most value that I could bring to the team, and I feel like that's kind of the prize pony of Major League Baseball. I mean, everybody wants to be able to start. Not everyone can do it. And for me, I have a lot of self-belief that I can do it. So I just kind of want a chance to prove that.
Psychologically, do you feel good about the fact that they're so open with you about a plan? And on top of that, the fact that they're talking, you know, we asked Pedro about whether it would be an opener or not. So that innings isn't necessarily the only criteria that they're looking at here with you.
Yeah, definitely. I guess in my mind right now, I still have to go out and win a job. Kind of like I said moments ago, it's not something I'm expecting to be given. I have to go out there and earn it, and performance is first and foremost at that front. So I'm just looking forward to having a good spring, just kind of slowly progressing along the way and getting hitters out.
Do you think that progression will go fast enough that you could be a starter come opening day?
In the talks that I've had with Ethan and with Chris, that's kind of up to how I'm recovering. And if I'm having success, I think that's a role that, I mean, as long as I'm having success, I think it's a little bit easier to pencil me in for that spot. But recovery first and foremost, and I guess we'll kind of see.
What kind of are the whole list of outcomes of this? I mean, can you be a big league starter, minor league starter, big league bullpen? What kind of is the idea here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to anything. Obviously, I've been training this offseason to be a starter, and that's kind of what's in my mind. It's kind of up to the front office to decide what's the best path to kind of execute the plan. But I'm open to anything that's helping the big league club. But starting's definitely number one for me.
How different was your training? You're healthy, and you know the role you're taking going into this year. How different was the offseason for you?
It was good. I was able to finally tackle some of the developmental things, just working on new pitches and kind of just refining shapes and that sort, rather than just throwing and feeling good. You know, last year that was pretty much the name of the game for me, was just as long as it didn't hurt, regardless of whether I had success or didn't. Just talking about my rehab outings out here in AC before I kind of went out to Birmingham, Charlotte, and so on. It was just, as long as it felt fine, you know, that was a positive takeaway. But now it's down to just performing, which is kind of the nature of the beast. That's kind of what I'm excited for, and just, yeah.
When you were in college, did you ever imagine your track would be, hey, I'm going to be drafted really high, I'm going to be a big league starter, and now you're a bullpen guy and you're in the major leagues. Did you ever imagine that was going to be the track that you've gone on?
That was, you know, when I was doing my just early on scout meetings across COVID, that was kind of what I was preaching to teams, just with a shortened season coming up, was that I could envision myself kind of taking the sale path and coming up in the bullpen and then eventually transitioning to starting. But obviously that was kind of derailed by not only by COVID, but by my Tommy John. But for me, the innings buildup, it's not as big of a factor in my mind, just with the five-day routine. I feel like it's a little bit different than going back-to-back or two out of three or even three out of five. And it's not like I'm really rewriting the book here. I mean, Verlander, obviously, he's done it for years and years, but he was a little bit older and had 18 months off and came back and had a full season ahead of him, and so have other guys from Tommy John. But with me not having done it in so long, I think that's where the risk comes into play. But in my mind, I know it's been done before, so I think it's something that I could do as well.
Ethan or Brian, talk to you about any arsenal changes, or have you been working on anything over the offseason?
A little bit. I'll keep that in-house for now. Wait until we get in the games, and then you guys can kind of make your assumptions from there, kind of make your own opinions if it's working or not. But yeah, I've been working on various things. kind of was had a little bit of a talk with Bannister before last season ended about some stuff to take into the offseason. So, yeah, I look forward to showing that.
Just from a mental standpoint, how good does it feel to be where you're at right now after everything you've been through?
Yeah.
Struggle, right? It's a long, long process.
Yeah, really good. The past two springs, there was no chance of me breaking with the team. So this year, just having the ability to compete for a spot on the 26 man, especially with so much competition going into spring, I think it's going to be really good for our ball club, and it's going to really push everybody to excel and be their best as soon as we're breaking camp. And I think that everyone's kind of going to be pulling for one another. I mean, you want to beat everyone out at their best, as sad as it is to say, but I think that we're just going to rally behind one another and really just push everyone to be the best and just, yeah, have a lot of success this spring.
Different feel overall in the organization with Chris in charge. I mean, obviously you worked with Chris when you were, you know, coming up, but I mean, different feel with him kind of the main guy now? Or what's the feel like with him?
I definitely feel like there's a lot of confidence with him running the helm. It's not a huge difference from the player side because the focus is still out there on the field. But a lot of moves made this offseason. I think a lot of the guys feel confident about that. And I think that we're just got to rally around one another and play now.
What about having a new catcher, especially with a guy like Maldonado and Stassi with their reputations?
Yeah. Not even just the reputations they've had as good catchers and good game callers, but the staff set they've caught in the past. A lot of good arms that they themselves were able to learn from and able to coach up along the way. So I think that a lot of the guys work forward to working with them. Just said, and maybe we could experience similar benefits.
And we're back. All right, Vinny, first off, like, I'm glad you guys asked. I thought it was funny that he was like, oh, I'm going to keep my arsenal in-house. It's like, all right, like, I don't know. Just like, what?
You got a fastball.
Are you
going
to try
already
to cut it a little bit more? Like, what? You're going to keep.
Got a split?
Yeah. Oh, spring training, and they're really going to be like, you know, paying attention to, you know, this podcast where this is probably the only time that this full thing is going to air and everything. Like, I don't know. Baseball people are weird. It seems very lackadaisical, this plan, the Garrett Crochet plan. It seems like, hey, show up to spring training and we got, you know, you have a lot of conviction that you want to be a starter, so we'll see if that happens. Am I off with this vibe? Because that was what we felt with Chris Getz, and I still kind of feel that way after hearing Garrett talk.
I think maybe you're looking at the likelihood of the outcome rather than you are the plan along the way, and you're welcome to criticize that if that's what you want. I think what I'm gathering from it is that the plan is, hey, go out and try to be a starter and we'll see if you can do it. You know what I mean? He's the guy who has lobbied for this opportunity. He's gotten this opportunity. He didn't like the idea of going back and forth between maybe you'll be a starter, maybe you'll be a bullpen guy. He thought that he could contribute more to the team than just three outs in the, you know, in one inning. And maybe that's greedy, right? Because, hey, you're in the big leagues having success as a reliever. Maybe it's greedy to think you can do more, but he believes in himself. He wanted this opportunity, and the White Sox felt comfortable giving it to him at this point. What the outcome's going to be, though, I can't tell you. I don't think Garrett Crochet could tell you. He was the way that he was talking was, man, it really seems like we're going to find out how my body reacts to going out there and going three innings or more at a time. He was talking about, you know, multiple, they call them ups, multiple innings, right, of sitting down after you pitch and going back out there, you know, doing it two, three times. You're going to need to do it more than that if you're going to be a major league starter, right? Obviously, it's early in the spring. He has a month and a half before opening day. But I think the idea is they want to see, and he wants to see, if his body will allow him to do that with the innings base that he has, with the experience that he has or lack thereof, and with the health issues that he spent the last 2 years trying to overcome. So I think they're going to find out at this stage whether he can do it, and they're confident that he has the ability to do it, but is that body going to look like it's supposed to after every single outing? He says that he's hopeful that it will and that they can move this a little bit further along, but he's talking about a slower than normal buildup stage or process because of the lack of innings that he has. I mean, it's a month and a half till opening day. If you're going to be on the opening in the opening day rotation, it's going to have to get done in that period of time. Now, I think that there are a lot of outcomes to what this is going to be, but for right now, we're watching a guy try to become what he wants to be, which is a major league starting pitcher, which, to be fair, the White Sox drafted him to be, albeit in the middle of a year when things were anything but atypical. But I really do think that this is an opportunity for a guy who they think highly of to try and get done what he wants to get done, and they're going to see what happens at the end of it.
I see this, and I saw the video, and I think that Garrett is advocating for himself to be a starter for multiple reasons. I think one of them is to eventually get a lot of money, because he sees how free agent pitchers get started, starting pitchers get more money than relievers. And then he sees the White Sox rotation. He's like, this ain't that tough to break camp. It's going to be really tough because it's a month and a half, like you said, until they break camp. But, like, I understand his advocating for himself to be a starter. But for them to say he has a chance to break camp and be in the starting rotation, to me, seems foolhardy because it's such a rush job to the starting rotation. I know he doesn't necessarily have to be in the rotation on March 28th, but to me, this seems like, okay, he wants to do this, and we're going to give him confidence that he can make it, which to me, it's there's no way.
I mean, speaking as somebody who is in their mid-20s, like, of course this person has an inflated ego. Like, the whole point of the organization is to act like, you know, who's the dude from Lord of the Rings? My precious.
Seriously.
Frodo.
Like,
asking the wrong person.
Garrett Crochet is a former first-rounder.
Gollum.
Gollum. Thank you. Not Frodo.
Sorry, I don't know.
Come on, Sarah. Dork. Also, we're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
But they have... I feel like there's it's kind of lackadaisical. Like... I get your point, like, hey, go out there, see if you're a starter. But, like, we know on paper that he has never been a starter. Like, the reason why he was in the bullpen was to maybe build up innings and use him as a guy who maybe could go two innings if he was feeling good. But the whole point is, like, he's never gone opening day to the end of the season feeling good and being able to really judge his body. Like, I don't think that this is... somebody that can really tell you with all of their convictions, I can be this, because, like, he's never done this. And if, you know, you have Brian Bannister and Ethan Katz, who, you know, I've thought highly of so far with their time in Chicago. I know Brian Bannister, I guess, hasn't done anything, but I like him. like, it seems like there should be more of a plan and more of a direction. And when Chris said, and we'll get into this in a second, we're going to take a break for our friends at ComEd. When you anticipate him on being on the major league club in 2024, I don't think that's best for Garrett Crochet. We'll wrap up this discussion after the break, but let's talk about our friends over at ComEd Herb.
It is getting easier for businesses to switch to electric vehicles. That's something we can all get behind for the health of the planet. And for the well-being of all of us who share it, Sean.
Yeah, the electric grid is evolving to meet your cleaner energy needs as we all move with confidence towards an electric tomorrow. Whether you have one delivery van or a whole fleet of shipping trucks, ComEd can help guide you to make the changes that make sense.
So, what should business owners do, Sean?
Sorry to cut you off there. They should go to ComEd.com/clean to learn more about the resources, fleet rebates, and infrastructure incentives available to help businesses go electric. If you own a business, do not wait. Start making your plan today to switch to electric vehicles, because it's good for business and it's good for the planet. And it's good for all of us, actually. So go to ComEd.com/clean.
Did you say ComEd.com/clean?
Of course. Go now and see how going electric connects us to a better way of doing business and a better future of generations to come. Vinny, I really just notice how much I miss you during the ComEd reads, because then I'm usually reader one and it's a lot easier. And reader two, you really have down.
Carrying the whole weight.
Yeah.
Reader two is.
It's like, I don't know a lot about the Beatles, but it's like if, you know, Paul sung a John part.
Uh-oh, you're about to insult some Beatles fans.
No.
Or the other way around. Okay, you know, people are such It's like, chill. Do you get the sentiment of what I'm trying to say?
I get what you're saying.
All right. I think what you're trying to say is
if Ringo were to sing a John Bush.
I was just about to say that the drummer Ringo. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. You know, and George is a sweetie. We all love him, so I'm not going to try to drag him. All right. Anyways, let's let you know about our friends over at Circus Sportsbook as well. They have tight money line splits and a low hold model. Games will strive to be a -110 split on the Circus Sports menu, unlike other sportsbooks, which may use a -115 or -120 split. And Circa keeps as little money as possible on large market bets like futures and golf tournaments, especially compared to other books, which allows them to keep these lines best for you, the better. And they want you to go download all the other sports books that are available in Illinois. I think there's six that are available that you can go download, and you can go compare them to Circa Sportsbook, the world's largest sports book. And most of, if not all the time, you will see that Circa Sportsbook has the best line for you to bet. If you are willing to wager your hard-earned money, why not lay it on the best odds possible for you to get the most bang for your buck? And the best part about Circa, too, you're not going to have to deal with any chat bots. There are real people behind Circa Sports Brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 months that it possibly can take with other sports books. And all aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. And if you've ever been to that place, it is a wonderful mausoleum to gambling. They keep that place very pristine. So, of course, they're going to treat anyone who is spending money with them the right way. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. That's circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Text GMB to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com. All right. So am I making too much of the lack of a plan here? Because if Chris Getz, who said yesterday the main goal is to keep Garrett healthy, like, it seems like a lot of pressure to maybe thrust him into this starter spot. And also, too, like, we've discussed the idea of an opener. Like, am I just overblowing this and Garrett Crochet's not going to go out there and try to throw six innings? This could just be, hey, Garrett Crochet's going to face the first three batters.
I think the answer is all of the above. I think really anything could happen here. And here's a thought. Maybe he's not one of their five best starters at the end of spring training. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he's just ends up in the bullpen again. And it's just because, not because he couldn't achieve what he was trying to achieve, but because there's no room for him maybe on the major league roster. You know, again, I think any number of things can happen. In my mind, if you were to say to me, hey, wouldn't it make sense if they kept him on the team and maybe, you know, every 6 days or so he goes out and throws the first three innings? Yeah, that seems to make a lot of sense. But then I asked Pedro Grifol today, are you going to have a regular old five-man rotation? And he says, yeah, probably. So, you know, I don't know if that new strategy that we thought that we were theorizing might be coming down the road is actually going to happen. But, you know, I think when it comes to Garrett Crochet, this is a guy who obviously has a lot of talent. When he's been able to be healthy, he has succeeded for the White Sox pitching out of the bullpen. He's a guy who wants to be a starter, thinks he can be a starter. Hey, the White Sox don't need him right now to be a lockdown relief pitcher, right? Herb, you spent the whole offseason telling me how it doesn't matter who their closer is because they're not expected to win many games. Maybe this is the perfect opportunity. Maybe it's the only opportunity that might arise where Garrett Crochet can take this opportunity to try to become a starting pitcher, because, heck, this time next year, if he hasn't figured out this starter thing, they might need him to be a late inning reliever if they are thinking a little bit better. So I think right now everything is set up to allow this opportunity to exist. And I think the White Sox are doing a good thing by allowing him to pursue this opportunity. When we get a month and a half from now and we know what the result of him trying to do this is, we can evaluate things a lot better, I think. Right now, it's just, hey, here's a guy who's going to try to do something on a team that doesn't have a lot of, you know, locked in, finalized spots, not just for now, but for the future. Let's go ahead and give him the next month and a half to show us what he can do.
So, in your opinion, is it major leagues no matter what or bust? Like, he's doesn't need to necessarily be in the rotation, but he's a major league pitcher in 2024 when they break camp.
If I had to guess right now, I would say yes. But again, the next month and a half is going to tell us a lot more than what today told us or what the last 2 days have told us about what lies in store for Garrett Crochet. And we'll see. It's very possible that he just might not be able to do this for the exact concerns that you guys are raising. Or who knows? Maybe he's a freak of nature and he goes out there and he gets a spot in the opening day rotation. But I think so many things are on the table right now. And again, Sean, it's that uncertainty that is bothering you probably. And I think that, you know, the fact that they are open to anything wherever this path might lead, you know, I think that's probably what the takeaway is today, is that, hey, it's possible Garrett Crochet could do X, Y, Z. Hey, it's possible Garrett Crochet could do A, B, C. We're going to find out what the final thing is much further down the road than just right now.
I was just thinking, like, the reason why I asked you that, Vinny, is because I was thinking, like, yes, I would love for him to be a starter, but I would think in, like, using minor league innings to build that up. But, you know, if they see that he is one of their five best starters and he can actually get through the season, which I don't believe, God bless.
Yeah, Getz said anticipate him on him being on the major league club in 2024. We don't want to close on the door on what's best for him. And I just thought, like, as much as we talk about the White Sox, how much we've talked about them from all the times that they haven't been playing baseball, you'd think, and especially how many you know FaceTime calls Martin Maldonado is making, you'd think that, like, Chris Getz would be like, we are committed to him being a starter. And it seems like it's crazy to just be like, you either make it as a major league starter on day one, or, you know, we'll put you in the bullpen. It doesn't seem like they're committed to him being a starter. It seems like, you know, Garrett Crochet had a lot of conviction, so we'll give him a shot and we'll see what happens. And again, like, this is a first rounder. I feel like there should be a little bit more care into, all right, Garrett, if you want to do this, we have enough time in the world with you. We have the opportunity to take a shot with you because we're in this precarious position of being bad. Like, you'd think that, hey, if you can't be an opener on the major league roster, we'll send you down to Charlotte and build you up as a starter there. I don't know. I feel like we could have had more of a detailed plan in the like 16 minutes we heard about Garrett Crochet's future. I really didn't think that there was a ton that was enlightened by either Getz or Garrett himself. So I don't know. It seems like the one issue I had with Getz, and I want to know your take on this because you heard 35 minutes from him. The difference between him and Rick Hahn is the playing, right? And Pedro Grifols later going to tell us how much Chris Getz had fun playing the game of baseball. I would have liked Chris to maybe enlighten us a little bit more on the changes that are happening, right? Like, I can look at Brian Bannister, his past playing career. We can see his work in San Francisco, in Boston, and he's done a good job of, you know, building up pitchers. We really don't know how they're going to try to build up the hitting side, right? We've heard a lot about the defense. It just kind of was like, oh, Marcus Thames is going to have a lot of work on his hands, right? Like, Chris knows how to talk about baseball. Chris has moved his way up to one of the 30 more, you know, herald jobs in baseball. And I feel like Chris really didn't get into that nitty gritty of the offseason changes. Again, maybe they're just keeping tight lipped because this is like war secrets. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think you can see it in the actions, right? I mean, obviously you're talking about words, but I think the actions speak louder, as the old saying goes, which is the fact that they went out and got a bunch of guys who don't hit or who don't hit well, at least in recent years. They obviously did not put an emphasis on that this offseason. I think they obviously are putting their eggs in the basket of any offensive improvement that happens is going to come from the guys who are already here. You know, hopefully Andrew Vaughn's better. Hopefully Yoan Moncada's better. Hopefully Eloy Jimenez is better. And everybody at home is rolling their eyes when I say that, because that's exactly what we heard last offseason, from Rick Hahn, and it didn't happen. But listen, they're not expected to score a lot of runs for a reason. They didn't go out and do anything to improve this lineup. Marcus Thames might be a great hitting coach, and he might unlock some stuff in those guys who were already here that makes those individual players better. But is it going to be enough to make them a vastly more productive offense? I don't think the idea was to flip the switch on the offense this offseason like it was to do with the defense. Maybe like it was to do with certain aspects of the pitching like you're talking about with bringing in Brian Bannister. I really think that the idea was fix the defense, and anything that happens with the offense is gravy. We'll see if that's what ends up being the case. But I think this is a multi-year plan to try to turn this organization around, and the big offensive changes in terms of personnel didn't happen this offseason. They are to come further down the road. They are the arrival of Colson Montgomery. They are some of the other minor league players coming up, and the additions that we can't even talk about yet because they're still an entire year away from making their first appearance at White Sox spring training. That's just the read that I get on it. I got the read that they weren't trying to make the offense vastly better this offseason. If they did, the four new position players, starters that they went out, would have come in with a little bit more offensive success on their resume. That didn't happen. And so I think we're looking at a team that is focused on playing better defense, not making so many mistakes, maybe playing a little bit faster and more aggressive on the base paths, for example. But I don't think we're expecting to see a team that's going to hit a lot better than it did last year.
And setting that tone for the Chicago White Sox, a second-year manager, Pedro Grifol. We got some comments from Pedro Grifol. He'll talk about Garrett Crochet, Michael Kopech. But first off, he talks about the vibe and maybe what's changed over the offseason from his first offseason to the second. Here is Pedro Grifol.
What do we got?
Pedro, looking at this year compared to coming in yourself last year, what do you feel your personal challenges are that are maybe different from last season?
Last season was a difficult year, but it was a learning experience for myself and for all of us. The one thing that we did really well this offseason was prepare for this season. And it wasn't just on our coaching staff, it was the front office, but our players did an incredible job of preparing. We changed this roster quite a bit. We brought in some guys that know how to win, that got experience, guys that care about winning, care about the clubhouse, the team, their teammates. When you bring in guys like Stassi, Maldonado, DeYoung, some of these guys that have been in organizations that have been winning organizations, and then you have that initial phone call with them and you talk to them 2 weeks later and Maldonado's telling me that, he's had some FaceTime with 8 or 10 players. He had a Zoom over here. He's had, and he's like, talk to this guy and that guy. You're like, okay, we're in the right place here. So I think we're a hell of a lot more prepared this year than we were last year as far as the infrastructure on how we want to do this.
How was the preparation different? I mean, what did you guys, and why didn't it happen last year?
It happened last year. It was just different.
Okay. So how was it different then?
It was different because our interactions with players and the players' interactions with themselves was different. There's a good vibe here. It's a good energy. It's, these guys have been talking to each other all offseason. And I walk out there now and we could start spring training right now. I mean, we're missing probably 6 or 7 players. That's it. They're running 4 groups of batting practice. Most all the catchers are here. We're missing one. It's a good vibe right now. It's good.
What's it like been working under Chris? I mean, you knew Chris, you worked with Chris last year, but now as the guy in charge for this time and, especially more intensively in the off season.
It's been great. I was his hitting coach in right. Kansas City. I mean, just remembering him as a player and now watching him as a leader, it's been great to see. He's in control of what he wants to do. He's got a plan. He's executing that plan. Our organization's in good hands.
How different is he as a front office guy versus what you knew of him as a player?
Well, as a player, he was just, he loved the game. He was in, enjoying the game every day. He has a smile on his face every day, and he has that too here at times, but there's times where he's leading, you know, and he's the boss. So it's really good to see him, you know, take charge in those situations and have fun at the same time, because he can do both.
Talked about Dylan Cease being the opening day guy who's here, but as far as the rest of the rotation goes, you've said there's 10, 11, 12 guys who could possibly start at some point. But coming out of camp, which four, five, six guys can we sort of figure out being lined up?
Well, I named our opening day starter like 6 weeks ago, and you reminded me that was the fastest. Was it the fastest?
I don't know if we have an exact record, but it's up there, though.
Yeah. It was great to see him walk in here, though. You know, again, and he dealt with this really well, and he continues to deal with it really well, and he understands the business. So I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's a White Sox. But you know, we'll see where that goes. And we have probably 14 starters on the board. I just saw Soroka throw a bullpen. He looked really good. Tukey threw one yesterday. Looked really, really well. Did really, really well. Fetty, I'm really curious to see Fetty. You don't do what he did last year, you know, and not have really good stuff and know how to pitch. So the rest of the guys are guys that are going to have to compete for a job, you know. And I love competition. You know, I love that part of our camp this year. You know, that we got a lot of competition on the pitching side of it, and we got some competition on the position player side. So it's gonna, you know, that helps the energy, that helps, you know, the way we want our style of play, the way we want to play the game, and it puts an emphasis on playing a faster game quicker than most spring trainings.
Will it be five, or could you? I mean, could you have a different look maybe than the classic five-man rotation?
That's still up for debate. It could be six, but you know, right now we're thinking five. But you know, we'll see how spring training, you know, progresses.
With Kopech, whether he's a starter or reliever, is it important, do you think, for you and him to know early on what that role is going to be?
No, I don't think so. You got to build him up, you know, and he's a starter right now. I don't, like, I'm expecting his off-season work to really propel him to take one of those five spots and, you know, and be one of our main guys. But you know, we haven't really spoken too much about that. We'll make adjustments if we need to make adjustments. But you know, right now he's going out there to be one of our five guys.
Can the same be said about Garrett Crochet? Is he trying to win a spot in that rotation, or what is maybe the plan?
He is going to be built up to try to win a spot. You know, and we'll see where it ends up. You know, that's what I'm talking about, competition. I mean, we got a pretty damn good roster when it comes to pitching, and we got some competition going on out there. So I'm excited to see these guys go out there and, you know, and compete. Spring training used to be, you know, come get yourself in shape and, you know, our team's almost set. If you're not in shape right now, you're probably going to have a hard time, you know, being one of those guys that's going to go with us to Chicago, you know, because for the most part, a lot of spots are open on that pitching staff.
And that was the voice of Pedro Grifol. And Vinny, what I got out of that is there's three guys already locked into starting rotation spots, because he pushed back on Bruce asking about the starter reliever for Michael Kopech, so he's in the rotation. Same thing for Cease. And then Eric Fetty, you didn't sign him for $7.5 million to be the bullpen guy. So those three are spot in the starting rotation. So there's 11 guys for two spots. I just wonder, and I know what he's saying about competition, but how do you compete in Arizona with, you know, the dry air, so your breaking balls is not working as well? How does that go about to get these 11 guys to battle for those two spots that might be open, and maybe three? And that was a great question by you asking about the five or six-man rotation.
put Chris Flexen in there too is pretty much a sure thing. I think we heard from Chris Getz after that signing that he was expecting him to be part of that rotation. That's a major league deal that Chris Flexen got. So I think it's really just one then of those spots that's kind of up for grabs. But I do think that it is up for grabs. I think that the competition is going to be there. You're asking about how they can make a determination. Remember, you're only seeing a handful of innings in a handful of exhibition games. The coaching staff is looking at these guys over the course of a month and a half very intently on everything they do, not just on the mound at, you know, inside the spring training ballpark, you know, from innings one to nine on those days, but everything they do in every bullpen, every throw they make, they record all this stuff. You know, they've got the cameras set up gathering all the data on every single bullpen these guys are throwing from probably before today, you know, all the way through. So they've got a lot more data points, both literally and figuratively, that they're going to be using to make those decisions over what folks at home back in Chicago are maybe just seeing. Oh, you know, Michael Kopech did this today in three innings against the Rockies. We've got that to go on. Oh, boy, we got to put a lot of weight on that outing. There's not as much weight being placed on that one outing by the people making these decisions because they have weeks of, you know, practice basically, but weeks of seeing them do other things to base those decisions on, not to mention everything that's happened before now. I bet you, you know, whether, you know, as much as Pedro talks about competition, and I'm not saying he's wrong, you don't think he's got an idea right now of who has had a good offseason, of who he would like to see on that opening day roster, and it's up to those guys over the next month and a half to change his mind. But certainly the offseason to this point is part of that data set as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, again, we think we know what this rotation looks like, but hey, maybe Garrett Crochet apparently will be a part of this. The 14 to 15 is just interesting. I know he doesn't want to count guys out because, what, they got 68 people there. But again, you think it'd be a little bit more clear. I understand they're pretty bad, but you think there'd be a little bit more clarity in what's going on in the rotation. But let's talk a little bit about Yasmani Grandal signing, because I didn't take much else from Pedro Grifol.
No.
Vinny, did you take much else from Pedro Grifol? You talked to him longer.
I mean, listen, it's just the stuff that I've been mentioning in conversations with him previously this offseason, also the stuff that I talked about earlier today and the stuff that I wrote about as well. I mean, I really think that he's very, very intent on this team looking a lot different in terms of what the on-field product looks like. At the end of the day, it might not mean a lot more wins, but he wants to run. He talked about how last year this team was conservative, that they didn't take the extra base enough, that they didn't steal many bases. He wants to ratchet that up a lot. Now, will they have the personnel to do it? We're going to find out. You know what I mean? But he wants this team to play a lot differently. And he was asked, how are you going to manage differently? And that was his answer. Hey, once this team starts playing differently, that allows me to manage differently. Once they start being more aggressive, I can start making sends on stolen base guys, and I can start doing things from a...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
managerial standpoint that maybe last year's team and the way it played didn't allow him to do. Now, granted, when we talk about the position player group, five of those guys played on last year's team. It's not like you just, you know, come into spring training and say, all right, we're going to run a whole bunch now, and suddenly Eloy Jimenez steals 40 bases. That's just not going to happen. But it will be interesting to see if he's able to do it. But a big takeaway, not just from today, but from the offseason in general, is that this team wants to look different. With the intention of that turning into wins, but we can sit here and predict and say it doesn't look like they're going to, you know, be a contender for the division. They hope, though, that at the bare minimum, this is a team that looks different. And for all you folks out there who were pulling your hair out last year watching them, that it's a lot more easy and fun to watch, and you'll have a noticeable difference in watching them than you have the last 2 years.
I know, but the whole thing is Pedro Grifol also told the same people who Fred's saying you always deliver. So thank you, Fred. And middle-class dreamers at MSU, which is a name that rolls off the tongue, says thanks for the video. They're getting caught up. So you are delivering for the people, Vin. But Pedro Grifol also said that, you know, every night we're going to go out and kick your ass. And then, you know, the White Sox have played 105 seasons and only five of them had up 100 plus losses, and that was one of them, right? Like, I think it would be an interesting, or at least helpful, to know how things are going to change, because it's great that they would want to run more, but the leader of on base percentage was Andrew Benintendi with .326. Like, they don't get on base enough to even run. And they
Correct.
Didn't change
and
anybody.
Why, and that's like, why they didn't change. And that's why I'm saying we're going to find out if it can happen or not. That's why I'm not sitting here telling you, boy, just you wait, folks. You're going to be lining up outside Guaranteed Rate Field to get in there and watch this team, because, you know, I'm just as skeptical as you are in that they'll be able to make it happen. But you're hearing that they have an intention to make it happen, and you could say, all right, fine, call me in 4 months and we'll see if that came true or not. Or you can say, oh, I've been sitting here all offseason waiting for them to tell me what the future is going to look like. This is what they are trying to make the future look like.
Yeah, and then Getz yesterday also said that, you know, he's been in clubhouses before where they said they were going to try to, you know, get X amount of wins. They're not really doing that this year. They're going to just try to go out and work. So at least, I mean, it is aligned with the message, and I am sorry to then, you know, do the proverbial shooting the messenger. My bad on that half, reporter Vinny Duber. All right, let's chat a little bit about Yasmani Grandal and Tim Anderson. We did a little bit yesterday with Grandal signing, just because on Friday we were so much like, he's not going to sign. He's probably going to retire. And then 2 days later, Yasmani Grandal is a Pittsburgh Pirate. Are we surprised? And Vinny, I'll throw this to you. First, that Grandal got a deal, because we really were kind of hemming and hawing about it on Friday. And then also, too, are we surprised that Grandal gets signed before Tim Anderson does?
Yes, on both counts. I think I brought it up last week when we were talking about it. Yasmani Grandal is a guy who, on the day of his last White Sox game last year, was talking about the possibility of that being it for him in his major league career. Obviously, it isn't, and he didn't want it to be, obviously, at the end of the day. But, you know, to hear that speculation coming from the source gives you kind of confirmation from what your eyes see, which is, oh, this guy's having trouble kind of doing the things he used to be able to do with ease because of the physical challenges that he had the last few years. But apparently the Pittsburgh Pirates thought he was in fine enough shape to give him a major league contract. On TA, I guess the only thing I can say is maybe Yasmani Grandal didn't care how much he got paid. Or at least cared less than Tim Anderson is going to care about how much he gets paid. Because, you know, I think we've sat here and said Tim Anderson is one of the top 30 shortstops in Major League Baseball. He should be getting a major league contract. Look at what he's done and he is potentially capable of still doing. He probably should be paid in accordance with that to a degree, even though he's coming off of a terrible season. Perhaps Yasmani Grandal was just like, I want to keep playing Major League Baseball. Sign me up. And Tim Anderson is sitting there waiting for a deal, like so many other free agents still are. That's the only thing I can guess there, because I would have to imagine that there would be a team out there that would value what Tim Anderson can do at higher than what we know from a physical standpoint Yasmani Grandal is capable of doing today.
Yeah, I was very shocked that Yasmani Grandal signed a deal. Not only because I don't think he's a good catcher anymore, which that's been the last couple years, and mostly because of the leg problems, but now he is not a good hitter anymore, which throughout his career, you see OPS pluses in the hundreds all but the last 2 years of his White Sox career. And so I don't know what Pittsburgh saw in him and said, you know what? We want to try out that 63 OPS Yasmani Grandal with a negative 0.7 wins above replacement. That sounds good for us. And Cortese says that Grandal will mentor Henry Davis. As a person that has heard tangentially things about Yasmani Grandal, I don't know about mentoring. So good luck to him. And I'm kind of weirded out that Tim doesn't have a deal yet, but I think Vinny says the right thing there. I think there are people interested in signing Tim Anderson. I don't know if Tim Anderson is interested in signing for what those people want him to sign for.
And just because a guy's old doesn't mean he's going to be a good mentor.
No.
I mean, he might also just be about him, which is fine.
And that's fine.
You know,
yes.
you're a major league player, and the other guy's trying to be a major league player. It's tough to be a major league player. But, you know, I don't know. Yasmani Grandal doesn't seem about that life, as they say.
Maybe he's like, hey, turn to leaf. He's like, in my older career, I'm trying to transition to coaching. Maybe this is the way I can do it.
Then be a coach. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, let's chat to, because I didn't want to do it, but also Daryl just posted a story about how Pedro Raffol wants more from Tony La Russa. I purposely cut that out, but I know also Steve Greenberg said that the first person that he saw was Tony La Russa. Did you see Tony?
I did not. He must have arrived moments before I did. But no, I did not see him today, but I heard he was there. I mean, he works for the team. He's a senior advisor to this organization. So why wouldn't he be here?
I guess, but I mean, I feel like it's going to be annoying. I mean, you know, he can advise. I mean, who aren't there other advisors? I mean, do you report when other advisors show up? I would just like, Vinny, for you to never ask a question about Tony La Russa this year. He doesn't matter. I feel like we could turn that page. I know you haven't so far. You've done a great job. We're very proud of you here. But, you know, let's just throw this out here on the podcast. We're not going to talk about Tony La Russa unless, you know, some like news breaks or anything like that.
Yeah, he's a senior advisor. Brian Bannister, same level.
Well, I'm interested in Brian Bannister. We'll play some Brian Bannister, but like, we're not going to have any media requests for Tony La Russa this year, right?
I mean, I have no plans for that, but we'll see what happens.
The Hall of Famer.
Listen, I mean, this is somebody who generates quite an emotional response among a large number of White Sox fans, as you can tell by the fact that he keeps getting covered and asked about. Listen, in terms of folks asking about him, he's part of the front office of this team. He's part of the you know, people who are, if not directly making the decision, he is certainly being you know, consulted about certain things. And the White Sox have said over and over again that they see that as a valuable resource. Pedro Grifol said today that he sees it as a valuable resource. You know, so I understand that there's a lot of folks out there who would prefer that he wasn't part of this for whatever personal reasons they have. But he is, and he is, you know, like I said, part of the front office. So why wouldn't you want to know what he's thinking as his thoughts are being relayed to the people who are making the decisions?
Yikes, I guess.
I don't know if Sean has any more serious questions. Do you?
I had one more little topic. You ask away.
I'm looking at you have a pool right behind you. You've only seen two or three people walk behind you, and no one's using the pool.
What's only 60?
Huh?
It's only 60. There's no sun on that pool.
Warm as hell. You're going to make a dip into that pool in the 2 weeks you're going to be down there, Vinny?
I mean, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that I have the time and the weather to be able to do it. As Sean just mentioned, I think the Arizona folks probably consider this a little chilly. I've seen winter coats out and about, even though the temperature is about to scrape 70 today. So, listen, though, you know, pool weather is a little different than, you know, hiking weather or just nice sitting outside weather. So I sure hope that I can take a dip back here. But I don't know if I do it right this second.
Look at those crystal blue skies behind you. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, truly.
Picturesque.
Scenic views from the Gila River Hotel and Casino in beautiful Arizona. What city are you in?
Phoenix.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. I know it's at Camelback Ranch, but I don't know. I've never been. So is that Phoenix proper or is that?
No, it's in Glendale.
See, there you
Camelback
go.
Well, there is some debate on that actually. So Camelback Ranch, which is where the White Sox and Dodgers have their spring training, I believe the address is Phoenix, which is very strange because it is between Glendale and Phoenix. So I don't know how Phoenix gets out there, but yeah, there is some debate on to whether Camelback Ranch is in Phoenix or Glendale. I certainly believe it to be Glendale, as like I said, the entire city of Glendale is east of it. I don't know. There is some debate.
It is not close to downtown Phoenix.
Fred, also, I am working on that to get a kiddie pool in the studio so we can match Vinny's vibe.
All right, cool. Perfect.
I'll get on that right now.
Yeah, we've been begging Steven to do a show outside for the past 2 years. So, hey, maybe we do some kiddie pool outdoor shows. We have the proper equipment and everything. So just
put our feet in the water and we're all good to go.
We'll just move this table and then put a pool.
There you go. I think it'd be perfect. I got one more thing, Vinny. Did you see the jerseys? I don't think you were in the locker room, were you?
I did not see the what jerseys? The spring training jerseys?
There were new jerseys that were displayed. There's new Nike branded and Fanatics manufactured Vapor Premier jerseys that are debuting this spring. The Cardinals have shown theirs off. The Mariners have shown theirs off. The Cubs did as well. And they are ugly. You look at the back, and here's a picture of the Cubs one because the Cubs ones were released as well. Typically, if you look at the top of the jersey, that MLB logo is more near the top, and there's kind of like a stitching that homes that MLB logo, and the actual names are no longer stitched. Miles Michaelis, Cardinal, said, quote, "I don't like them. Everyone should write about it." I thought that was really 30s. Good. Another player described them as, quote, "generic." This is from Derek Gould at SLT. At STLtoday.com. And Michaelis also said it felt special, like the big leagues, that the last name that was stitched is gone. But then Nolan Arenado was a very brave, brave soul. And if you're wondering what team or company sponsors Nolan Arenado, just wait. Quote, "The Nike Vapor Premier jersey is soft, light, and comfortable. It's almost like wearing my favorite shirt out on the field, and it's so easy to move around in." So thank you, Nolan Arenado, Nike athlete, for giving that great description on the jersey. So they look butt ugly, but Nolan Arenado is comfortable in them. So I'm interested to see what the Sox ones look like.
They look like the children's size ones. I said this on the Cubs show. I used to work at Wrigley Field, and I used to make jerseys, and they look like the letters that they use for the kid jerseys. Mm-hmm. And then I don't like where the MLB logo is. They like moved it down, which just looks bad. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
There's a picture of Lance Lynn's in the STLtoday.com article from Derek Gould, and it's just, again, butt ugly. They're very tight. It doesn't really have that true nice feature. And the best part, too, they went from $135 on the Fanatics website to like $165. So, yay!
DHgate, here I come.
Yeah, real ugly and a real bad look for Major League Baseball. So I'll be interested to see at least how Sox players react if you guys get into the locker room and hear their reactions. But any final thoughts from spring training? We got obviously more throughout the week, and you can follow Vinny at Vinny Duber and read his piece up at allchgo.com.
Yeah, nothing much more from today. Obviously, we'll be on the ground tomorrow for pitchers and catchers report day, and we should be able to hear from some more players, obviously see a lot more of what's going on in the backfields and with what everything else is looking like. So, like you said, stick around all week, and no breaks for me, I don't think. So Saturday and Sunday, too. Make sure folks are dialed in on social media, and because we'll be going to camp those days, too.
They're putting you to work, and I'm going to actually make one request. Since you're at the Gila River Hotel and Casino there in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, I know you do a lot of short little videos. Why not gamble in that beautiful casino, huh, for the degenerate like me? Why not give the people some gambling content, huh? Play a little slot machine, if you will. You don't have to. I know you're on a different wavelength than me.
You got to donate to him.
I guess I could. Yeah, maybe I need to pay for the content. Anyways, follow Vinny at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat Beat Writer. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to our CHGO YouTube channel. We got a ton of content still coming today. We got Bulls and Blackhawks shows that are coming out. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at AkronWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show, and I'm Sean Anderson. We will talk to you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Goodbye.